Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr today. And there's an oil and gas boom in South Texas right now. More than 7,000 new wells have been drilled into the Eagle Ford shale deposit since 2008, and another 5,500 have been approved by state regulators. The shale deposit stretches 400 miles across South Texas to the Mexico border. And Inside Climate News has investigated the impact of all that drilling in this area for 8 months, along with the Center for Public Integrity and the Weather Channel. Their findings? Regulators aren't keeping close tabs on the noxious air pollution coming from those sites. As residents complain of increasing respiratory problems, oily residue on their windshields, and even dying dogs, the state is cutting its environmental monitoring capacity while drilling expands. Lisa Song was on the team of the reporters looking into this. She was also part of the reporting team that won a Pulitzer Prize for Inside Climate News last year. And she joins us now. Welcome to WNYC, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, of course, here in New York, there's a moratorium on any hydraulic fracturing, fracking as it's known. So call in with your questions with the view of a place where there's a lot of drilling happening. 212-433-9692. Lisa Song has been looking into its impacts, not just on water, which is what we've typically heard about, but also on air. 212-433-WNYC. So Lisa, I want to ask you about that first, because when we talk about the environmental cost or the environmental concerns associated with hydraulic fracturing or fracking natural gas drilling, the conversation is often about how to protect groundwater from pollution. Why did you focus this investigation on air pollution in South Texas?
We chose to focus on air first because it hasn't been covered very much. And when it is covered, reporters tend to cover one aspect of air pollution. They might write about ozone pollution in the western states from drilling, or they might write about methane leaks from the natural gas supply chain and what that's doing to climate change. But if you think about the air pollutants coming out of this process, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of different gases coming out at different points. And it's not just from the fracking stage. So it seemed like an area that needed to be written about.
So what sorts of air pollutants are we talking about associated with oil and gas drilling in South Texas?
Well, some of the most well-known ones are called VOCs, or volatile organic compounds, and they include substances like benzene and toluene. Benzene is a carcinogen. If you are exposed to enough of it for a long period of time, you can get cancer. There are many, many different types of VOCs. And the other type of air pollution is all the machinery that is used for extraction of oil and gas, the generators, the separators, the flares, the heater treaters. All of those things are powered by diesel or natural gas. And all of those combustion emissions do help create ozone and other air pollutants as well.
So you note that many other stories focused on particular pollutants, but your framing was around looking at a particular place and all the things that were happening there associated with this drilling. And you profiled a number of local residents who live on this Eagle Ford shale deposit in South Texas, many of whom have talked about the big changes they've seen from their back steps and back patios in their beach chairs and how life has changed. About 1 million people live in this part of South Texas. Tell me about these communities. I understand they're pretty different from where drilling is happening elsewhere in Texas near Fort Worth and Dallas.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons we became interested in the Eagle Ford, is you're talking about a very rural area with small communities, small towns or farms where people live, and they tend to have fewer resources and less political influence than residents in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So one of the things we discovered is the drilling in the Barnett Shale in North Texas near Dallas-Fort Worth, that created enough controversy that the local residents got their state regulators to put in some extra protections from air quality and air pollution. But the Texas legislature stepped in and prevented those same protections from being applied to the rest of the state, which means the Eagle Ford residents don't have that extra layer of protection.
We're taking your questions on the impact of drilling in South Texas in an investigation by Inside Climate News. Phone number 212-433-9692-212-433-WNYC. So you describe these as largely rural communities, lower income than in other parts of Texas that have seen drilling. But you also point out that in one county on this shale deposit, the tax base has just exploded as drilling has expanded from $217 million in one county to $6.8 billion since 2008. That's incredible economic growth. And so I wonder, is there conversation even among residents about trade-offs that come with that growth? You have to deal with some more pollution?
Yes. It's very interesting because when you go to Karnes City, which is at the center of this county where the tax base has exploded, it does not look like a very prosperous place. Mm. There are still very poor parts of town, a lot of people living in mobile homes or small houses. It does not look like a place where there are billions of dollars of investment. At the same time, you have some residents who have personally benefited because they have leased their mineral rights to the industry. And so you have some residents, for the first time, they have enough money to secure their grandchildren's future after decades of struggling through ranching and farming. And you have other residents who have not leased their land in any way or have not seen any financial benefit. And to them, all they have seen is an increase in air pollutants or, flares and storage tanks practically in their backyards. So it's an interesting story of the haves and have-nots.
And this patchwork. And what, going back to the air pollution, what do you hear from residents and what they've noticed in their own lives?
You hear the same complaints from multiple residents who, live in different parts of the Eagle Ford and have never met each other. And they all complain about headaches, nausea. They complain about a rotten egg odor, which is characteristic of hydrogen sulfide. And hydrogen sulfide is a very dangerous, deadly gas that is found in some shale deposits around the country, and it's particularly high in the Eagle Ford. People also complain about other respiratory problems, burning, itching eyes, very serious migraines, aggravated asthma, and some people even nosebleeds.
And one of the difficulties, of course, when you hear these anecdotal sort of stories about what people have noticed in their own lives is connecting that back to the drilling activity. And that comes back to monitoring. And you point out that where air emissions are being monitored, where all this drilling is happening, the monitors are actually far from where the most active drilling sites are happening.
Yeah, that is one big problem, is the Eagle Ford is nearly twice the size of Massachusetts, but the state of Texas only has 5 air monitors in the entire region, and they're all at the very edges of the shale deposit, very far from where the most active drilling is occurring, far from where the air pollution would be the highest. And the only monitoring the state does do in those high drilling areas is some sporadic spot monitoring with, they might come out during an investigation or doing a random inspection, but scientists have said it's really important to have more stationary monitors throughout the region so you know how air quality is changing day to day and hour to hour.
You profiled 2 state agencies that are charged with oversight of environmental impacts as well as permitting. You look at the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the Texas Railroad Commission. What kind of response did you get from them when you said, we're hearing these complaints from residents who live here, here, and here? What are you doing to monitor their air quality?
Well, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, or TCEQ, tells us that they are doing a lot of monitoring in the region. But again, when we looked into it, all we saw was sporadic spot monitoring and these 5 permanent monitors that are nowhere near the heart of the drilling. The Texas Railroad Commission, they are not in charge of air quality. They manage the drilling permits for the industry and safety issues for the industry, but not actually air pollution.
And this brings us to a question from Brian in Middletown, New Jersey. We're speaking about state agencies in Texas, but what's your question about air quality and drilling?
Hi, I was curious to know what role the federal government or the federal EPA can play in this. I mean, surely there's a Clean Air Act issue involved in all this, yes?
There is the Federal Clean Air Act, but the key thing is the EPA relies primarily on the states to enforce the Clean Air Act. And in Texas, the state government doesn't have a very good relationship with the EPA. Their governor's office, attorney general, has sued the EPA 18 times in the past decade.
And are federal monitors, I mean, does the EPA come to a community like some of the towns that you profile on the East Ford Shale deposit, and do they say your state monitoring doesn't look to be effective?
Again, it has to do with EPA resources. They are very rarely on the ground because they don't have the resources to, you know, go state by state, region by region, and do those kinds of regular inspections. If something is going, you know, sometimes there are cases that go spectacularly wrong or generate a lot of media or public interest, and then the EPA will step in. This happened a few years ago in the Barnett Shale in North Texas. There were complaints of water contamination from fracking, and in that case, the EPA did step in, although they eventually withdrew one of their proposed orders because they didn't want to go through an expensive lawsuit.
I want to tease out more about this North Texas example, because reading your piece, you really get the sense that in Texas, it's a tale of two shale deposits, because you have these two massive shale deposits where drilling is happening. One is near Dallas and Fort Worth, bigger population centers, more economic activity, and then in South Texas, the Eagle Ford Shale deposit. And you point out that back a few years ago in 2011, there was a lot of outcry in North Texas about the effects of emissions, and the legislature responded. What happened then?
Well, the legislature responded by introducing some new additional regulations to further curb air pollution. And they started by just saying, let's apply these rules in the Barnett Shale to begin with, and later we'll expand them to the rest of the state. A few months later, the Texas legislature stepped in and basically made it impossible for the TCEQ to expand the rules to the rest of the state. And later on, actually, the TCEQ itself reduced the use of those rules in the Barnett and limited them to just 15 out of the 24 counties in the Barnett. So when we looked at the Eagle Ford, it was a very clear case of environmental injustice, where you have a population that has fewer resources and less political power, and therefore they have fewer attention and protection from their regulators.
And I want to get back to the mechanism of drilling and how that leads to air pollution, because looking at there was an article in the journal Science last week, a policy analysis that looked at air pollution associated with drilling, and found that the methane emissions had been underestimated, and pointed to an earlier study that found that a lot of those leaks came from a small percentage of operators, that a lot of the air pollution associated with gas drilling came from a small number of operators. So is air pollution associated with natural gas a function of kind of not following all the rules that you should be following and sort of slipshod drilling? Or is it just a cost that comes with natural gas drilling?
I think the main problem with air pollution, there are two sources. One is whenever you have a shale energy boom, you don't just have 10 wells or 100 wells. You have thousands of them. And when you have thousands of wells, each well comes with all kinds of infrastructure and machines and millions of gallons of fluids with chemicals. You're going to have a lot of air pollution just because there's so much stuff there. At the same time, you are going to see a small percentage of those wells that just happen to be maintained poorly, or there are mistakes there. And so this small percentage of sources are responsible for a huge percentage of the overall emissions. So when scientists talk about helping to control emissions, they say the best thing to do is go after the bad operators, go after the ones that are not maintaining their properties very well, and you should clamp down on those first. But the problem is, if we're not doing monitoring, how can you distinguish the good actors from the bad actors?
And then you don't know who the bad operators are. We've got a call from David in Peekskill for you, Lisa. David, what's your question?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and it's multi-pronged. I guess my concern is the environmental degradation that's happening surrounding these well caps and these wells. because a lot of these, you know, fly-by-night and or recognizable oil companies go into these places, you know, they get what they can get, they cut deals with the local councils, the, you know, local state and city folks, and then they get out. And they, you know, they've had a really sad or bad history of leaving behind really bad environmental situations for the local folks that have to sort of soldier on and live through.
And I understand you hold some mineral rights in North Dakota and trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's sort of like my personal conflict is that, and this comes down to me through my great-grandfather, who bought 300 acres in North Dakota outside of Dickinson right after the Depression. And we hold, the family collectively holds the mineral rights to that land still. And so, yeah, there's some remuneration coming our way. And it's just a very sort of complex issue that you know, troubles me and, you know, makes me think about stuff. And the larger picture of this is it's not just about the dollar, but it's about the environment and what we're leaving for our kids and grandkids.
David, you bring up a good point, and Lisa, I'm sure you heard those mixed feelings from residents in South Texas who may have, you know, sold their mineral rights or were benefiting from drilling, but then seeing the way it was changing their community.
Oh, definitely. One of the families we interviewed, you know, they had sold their mineral rights and were now much more prosperous than they could ever have dreamed of, and they're very grateful for that. But they also recognize, you know, just 200 yards behind their house is a huge processing facility, and there's a flare that burns and trails black smoke, and they, you know, they have some grandchildren who live with them, and they recognize that they may one day be paying for it in terms of health and environment. And for now, they say they're doing fine, and they told us they're prepared to take the good with the bad. But, you know, we'll see what happens. The other interesting thing is there are families in the Eagle Ford who have leased their land and are benefiting financially and are actually using some of that money to hire scientists to do some local air and water monitoring, because they are feeling a little bit concerned that, you know, they don't want their neighbors and their communities to suffer while they are benefiting financially. So that's an interesting story, too.
Paying for their own monitoring privately. And then when you say the residents are weighing the trade-offs of the benefits now versus the cost that they're seeing, there's not a lot known about the effects of long-term exposure to these gases that are released. You quote Aaron Bernstein of the Harvard Centers for Health and Global Environment saying, we really haven't the foggiest idea about what happens when all of these chemicals get together in the air.
Yeah, that is one big worry, is you don't have any long-term health studies going on, certainly not in the Eagle Ford. You know, there are no research groups out there saying, let's start a health survey and track these people's health over the next few years or decades. And one big problem is when you talk about air pollution, you're talking about people exposed to dozens or hundreds of chemicals at once. And the way that we regulate chemicals is based on one chemical at a time. So when we set safe levels for human exposure, no one is considering here are some extra complications that can happen when you're being exposed to a whole cocktail of chemicals.
Lisa Song was on a team of reporters that looked at the effects of oil and gas drilling on the Eagle Ford shale deposit in South Texas. The investigation went on for 8 months, part along with Inside Climate News, the Weather Channel, and the Center for Public Integrity. Lisa Song, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you can see a link to that investigation on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show page.